If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Is this thing on? Hey guys, good morning. I was not here yesterday. Did not do the show. Yesterday was Groundhog Day, one of my favorite holidays of the entire year, next to probably Halloween and Thanksgiving. Just love Groundhog Day, especially the epic movie that Tom Hanks starred in back in the early 90s, I think it was. Absolutely fantastic. The internet feeds were down yesterday, and I found out why. It was because the FCC, certain individuals out there trying to listen to RBN, hadn't gone through the application process to hear the programming over the internet. So the FCC took over and canceled some of your subscriptions. We were able to negotiate you guys being able to listen to the radio for another 2 to 3 weeks until you actually applied and got the applications in there, pending approval from the FCC. Of course, that's all BS. We had a server issue. It's all taken care of. But I want to thank my good friend and number one fan, Paula, for alerting me to that. Of course, nobody really missed that much. You'd have to be listening to me on the archive unless you were on one of the affiliates that are out there. I know that most of you stream over the internet. However, some of the affiliates were still there. Got to listen to a good replay from yesterday. So that's what happened yesterday. We are still in the midst of a pledge drive. So the pledge drive is going on. We're in the process of standing up another network, the ERN, the Elected Representatives Network. And we're looking for pledges to help that out. If you would like to help out, you can call 800-724-2719. That is 10 to 6 Central Time, Monday through Friday, which is going to start in about an hour from now. Otherwise, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org. You could donate there. And you could also send your pledge to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can also send in $8 to that address to get your 100 business cards, your included bumper sticker, and really kind of the cream of the crop here, which is well worth $8, Aaron Russo's copy of America from Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen that, you are not doing yourself any favors. So look for that. It's all good stuff. All right. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about a homeowner in Phoenix, Arizona, using his shotgun to blast away at a bad guy trying to come in. Some information about some legislation going on in the great state of Florida. And we're going to hit a little bit about politics and the rampant spending and what it's doing to us going on in D.C. And really, we're going to identify, when we talk about all these trillions of dollars, $3.8 trillion to run the country, you know, an extra $1.9 trillion to the debt, we're going to identify what a trillion actually feels like. We're going to give it some sort of sense of reality. All right, so stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. So, we're going to talk just a little bit about the number 1 trillion. Now, we hear it. We hear it when it's most commonly referred to as money. Our money. The money here in the United States that really belongs to we the people. I'm not necessarily talking about money that the taxpayers pay in or more appropriately get swindled out of when it comes to personal income tax. That whole personal income tax, you're going to want to read Dave Champion's book, which is coming out, hopefully within the next couple of months, which is all about really what the income tax is all about and who it really applies to. And you'll be surprised at how infinitely few people in America the income tax legally applies to and what you can do about getting yourself removed from the system and still be absolutely completely legal. It's a huge swindle. It's unreal. I've actually had the opportunity to read the first 5 or 6 chapters. Okay, so $1 trillion. Now, keep in mind that just recently, the Senate, just on Christmas Eve, I think it was, when they stuffed the health care bill, as they want to call it, the health, socialized health reform, down the down our throats, they also voted straight down the same party line, 60 to 40, to increase... it's a measure. It would increase the ceiling of the national debt to $14.3 trillion, an additional $1.9 trillion deeper in debt. Now, that's about an extra $45,000 for every single American, be they 20 seconds old or 120 years old. $45,000 extra. Okay, extra. Every time they do $1 billion... All right, it's right around. It's easy enough to figure about $23,000 each, $23,000 for each one of us. Now, let me give you an idea of how long it would take to count out $1 billion. If you had $1 billion, first of all, it would take up a couple thousand pallets. Okay, like pallets of paper, a couple thousand of those. If you counted $1. Every second, nonstop, until you got to a trillion. It'd be the same as counting to a trillion. No human being could, at 1 second each, count to a trillion. All right? So if you were counting to a trillion and doing this with dollars, this is how long it would take you. 31,709 years. It would take nearly 32,000 years. You get that? 1 trillion seconds clicking off on the clock. It would take 31,709 years. So we haven't even come close to a trillion since Jesus was alive. You understand? Now, they say that human life formed in Africa about 50,000 years ago. Modern humans. All right? So, with that being said, it's been about 1.5 trillion seconds. Not enough seconds to count up to the $1.9 trillion that the government has decided to raise the debt to. You got that? Do we all understand now? Nearly 32,000 years to count to a trillion. Well before Caesar. Well before the pyramids. We still have not gone 1 trillion seconds. Now we have an idea of the money that our government is literally pissing away. Literally. Now, some people ask, well, you know, if we didn't have the income tax, the personal income tax, corporate income tax, things like that, personal income tax for money that you or I earn, how would the country run? Well, it would run exactly the same way it does now, because the country doesn't run on personal income tax. If you follow the money trail, what happens with the personal income tax is every red cent of it goes to pay the guys at the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not a government agency, and it pays them on the interest towards the debt that the government has racked up. So the government racks up all kinds of debt with the Federal Reserve. There's interest on that. Interest to the tune of about $500 million. I'm sorry. Is that right? No, I think it's $250 million an hour. An hour. 24/7, 365. So what we've got is the government outspending so much. Now, how do they, what money do they use for things like the military and housing and roads and things like that? Well, those are things that the country ran on well before the income tax scheme back in 1913. What they use is they use tariffs. They use taxes on different shipping in and shipping out of materials. There's different highway and fuel taxes. There's all sorts of different taxes that are out there for companies that do things such as drilling of oil, mineral rights, things like that, properties, property taxes, things like that. Those are the things that actually run the country. The personal income tax that they bring in goes to pay the private banking firm of the Federal Reserve on the interest that the guys in D.C. continue to rack up and borrow money on. Now, in the Reagan administration, most of you around for the Reagan administration, Reagan probably, in my opinion, the most likely the last great president this country will ever see. We finally hit $1 billion in debt, thanks to the Democrat-controlled Congress back in the time. $1 billion in debt. I'm sorry, $1 trillion. My mistake. $1 trillion in debt. We're now at 14.3, and we can jack that up to 16.2, thanks to what the Senate passed. When are we going to learn? When are we going to get this figured out that these jackals have their own interest at heart? Now, there's been a whole lot of discussion about replace everybody in the House and every senator that's up for re-election coming up later this year. And I couldn't agree more, with a couple of very few exceptions, like some of the Ron Pauls that are out there. Because these guys, even if some of them have a little bit goofy idea, a little bit of a goofy idea on how some things need to go, at the very least, they're fiscally responsible. The thing is who are we going to replace them with? Are you going to replace them with somebody who sat at your state level in the state senate or state representative for the last 12 or 15 years? Somebody that already knows what this cycle is like here? They already know the congressmen and senators in D.C. from your state? They're already familiar with the system. You'd have to get very, very bright business people, not attorneys, very bright business people into the House of Representatives and the third of the Senate that's up for re-election this year. Very bright business people. If they have some sort of experience in the legislative process, that's fine. As long as they're not dyed-in-the-wool, in the mix, understand the way it goes, dealing with lobbyists and already on the take. That's the problem we already have. So I just want you to realize how bad off we really, really are. When they talk about taxing and spending, and they talk about borrowing and spending, they say that the Democrats tax and spend, and they say that the Republicans borrow and spend. They all do both. The Democrats have done more borrowing and spending in the last year since Hussein took over than at any other time in our entire history. Now, I realize this doesn't specifically have to do with Second Amendment and guns, which is what I'm normally on here talking about. But it's going to get to a point where the government either wises up and wises up quickly, or there is going to be such a massive outcry and people are really going to figure this out. And they're going to pick up their guns and they're going to march on Washington, and people in Washington are going to start getting shot. they're going to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And I fear for that day coming to a head. And the people who are pushing this to a head are those elected and appointed officials in Washington, D.C. They are pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, Obama spoke in his State of the Union address about having a freeze on federal spending. Now, that freeze isn't for this year. It starts next year. And it only encompasses 17% of the federal budget. Less than one out of $5. 83% of the federal budget, an easier number to look at and realize, is completely unaffected by that quote-unquote freeze. I want everybody to take notice of this. Grab a hold of your elected representatives. They have to, by the throat, through a letter. Emails do not work. They never, ever, ever read emails. They never read emails. Never, never, never. Don't send them handwritten letters. Or type out and mail it. And let them know, not a single dollar spent. We want a surplus this year. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to get back on some Second Amendment-related stuff after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. I am just right now finishing up a little calculation on here. If the government runs on $3.8 trillion dollars a year, $3.8 trillion, if that's going to be their budget coming up, what we have is to figure out how much money they're spending every hour, right? I'm sorry, not every hour, every second. Every single second of the day, they're spending over $1.2 million per second. 1,204,972 dollars in just under 10 cents. Cents per hour. Okay? Over $1.2 million per second. How long does it take you and your current capacity to earn $1.2 million. And that's flying out every second. $1.2 million every second. Can you imagine? Unreal. From the website, bedbizops.gov, according to them and my good buddy Ed, you guys remember Ed Winchester, he sat in with me for a full week when we were on the beach last August, very memorable week. The IRS is buying 60 Remington 870 12-gauge shotguns, decked out with the shortened 14-inch barrels, and then other tricked-out gear, speed feeders, ghost ring sights, extended mag tubes, probably the little side saddles on the back, on the side. Something that you and I aren't readily able to get a 14-inch shotgun. We have to go through lots of federal paperwork, so what these are is they're called entry shotguns or breaching shotguns. The Internal Revenue Service is buying 60 of these. Why does a tax collection agency who violates the law on a regular basis every second of every day, why do they need entry destructive shotguns? Who needs those are us for when the IRS comes, because they're there to enforce regulations that don't follow the law. That's what we need. We need the 870s. Maybe they're buying these 870s and they're going to give them away, maybe people who qualify in a pool or something. I kind of doubt it. So how many Americans do you think are actually going to get shot by these 870s that they're buying? Americans that are getting shot because they're not paying into an income tax system, which is completely fraudulent. How many people are going to get shot for that? I don't know. For the IRS, evidently, they are in the process, from what we understand, of hiring upwards of 2,000 investigative agents. As in, they would be considered like the law enforcement badge-toting federal law enforcement agents for the IRS. Investigators with guns and badges. 2,000. Now, why are they hiring all these guys? Well, because evidently, I'm only speculating here, that the Federal Reserve wants to make sure they're getting as much of your money as they can, and they're using the Treasury Department, who is locked in with the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, the Federal Reserve Chairman now, I'm sorry, the Treasury Secretary now, Geithner, is the former chairman of the New York Federal Reserve. Additionally, on the Federal Reserve Bank, there is one seat always open to whoever happens to be the Secretary of Treasury. So we have a private organization, which has definite ties with the federal government, that keeps an open board seat on the board of directors for an appointed, Senate-approved government position. That's a secondary job that they hold. You think they collect any money for holding that job? Oh, I'm sure they do. You don't sit on the board of directors of the wealthiest corporation on planet Earth without getting some sort of compensation. I'd imagine it absolutely dwarfs that of the Treasury Secretary's annual salary. Absolutely dwarfs it. So, where do your loyalties lie? Well, you want to stay in as the Treasury Secretary as long as you possibly can to keep that seat and keep that money. What it is, I don't know. If somebody can find out what a board member of the Federal Reserve Bank gets, please do. Because the officers of the corporation are kept completely sealed and completely secret. It's only people doing investigations that can tend to start to find out who these people actually are. So, I'm sorry. I said we were going to go into Second Amendment stuff. In fact, we are. We have a break coming up now. Here comes my music. You hear that? Still not the music that I sent in about 3 weeks ago, but music nonetheless. We're going to talk about a homeowner in Phoenix who shot an intruder with a shotgun. And again, Gun Owners of America alert with some things going on down in Florida. You'll hear about that after the break, I promise. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on Two-Way Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Are dying the mud with the scuzz bags in D.C. Okay, out of Phoenix, Arizona. I'm reading this because it's a rather interesting story on several points. Phoenix police are investigating an incident in which a Northeast Phoenix homeowner shot and killed an intruder with a 12-gauge shotgun blast to the belly. The homeowner phoned 911 at 1:45 p.m. afternoon, bright daylight. After shooting the intruder in his home, in the 4300 block of East Liberty Street, northwest of Bell Road and 44th, according to the Phoenix Fire Department. The homeowner told police that the intruder had asked for his car keys, money, and identification. Asked? If he's asked, why couldn't you just say no? Something tells me he probably demanded. The incident is believed to have started at approximately 1:15 p.m., a half hour before, when the suspect was spotted burglarizing a vending machine at a car wash on Tantum Boulevard and Charleston Avenue, said Sergeant Tommy Thompson. I think it's funny when, like, this is Thomas Thompson. I knew a William Williams once. I also knew a David Davidson. Why do parents do that? The worst, I knew a girl named Sarah Ann Rapp. Her parents named her Saran Rapp. Can you believe that? She was friends with another girl I knew named Penny Nichols. I don't get it. That's stuff you do to your pet, not your child. Anyhow, Sergeant Tommy Thompson. In his attempt to leave the scene, the suspect cracked his axle, but continued to drive away, stopping by an elementary school close to the home he invaded. Now, we're talking leaving the scene of being shot in the belly with the 12-gauge, not the scene of the vending machine. Foothills Elementary School was put on lockdown for a short time while police searched the area for the burglar. As they were searching the area, they heard a pop, said Thompson. The pop was the blast from the homeowner's shotgun. Okay, disregard. He did leave the area of the vending machine incident. Then they heard the pop of the shotgun from the homeowner. Firefighters transported the intruder to an area hospital where he died from his injuries. All right. I don't know what gauge shotgun. Let me see. Go back up here to the top. 12-gauge shotgun blast. I wonder what he had that 12-gauge loaded with. That would be interesting to find out. If he had buckshot, even if it were to the belly, this guy would have been done. In all likelihood, unless he was, I don't know, it would have had to have been a really, really lousy shot with the 12-gauge not to end this guy right then and there. But nonetheless, a 12-gauge shotgun to the belly, this guy was done. Okay? It's interesting that this guy started off burglarizing a vending machine. He was in the process of committing. Now, the most expensive thing I've ever seen in a vending machine at a convenience store is about $1, right? Now, if you go to a ballpark or something like that, you might find stuff in a vending machine that's far more expensive. Who knows? Maybe this is a cell phone vending machine and the stuff was $40. Regardless, this guy was otherwise committing vandalism for a misdemeanor sort of item. And it cost him his life because he upped the stupidity level here. And the homeowner, not wanting to be a victim, it's funny, he asked for his car keys, money, and identification. I couldn't imagine if I walked up to somebody, knocked on their door. Hello, excuse me, ma'am, sir, child. May I please have your car keys, your money, and your identification, if you don't mind? And then they shoot me in the stomach? Probably not. Something tells me that the asking was, give me that stuff or else, or just plain demanded it. It's just funny that they used the word asking in this article. So then, the homeowner, as he should have, shot this jerk. I wanted to use another word at the end of jerk. It wasn't on. Gun Owners of America email alert. This came out recently. Gunowners.org is their email address. This came out last Friday. The 2010 session of the Florida state legislature is right around the corner. While there are several gun bills, both good and bad, already filed, one bill in particular should be of great interest to Sunshine State gun owners. The bill is SB 98. Introduced by pro-gun State Senator Kerry Baker, Republican out of State Senate District 20. Known as the Firearms Freedom Act. The bill is molded after similar legislation which has been successful in other states, including Montana, the first state to pass such a law. The Firearms Freedom Act has a simple concept. It states that if a gun was made in Florida and stays in Florida, then the federal government may not regulate it under the Interstate Commerce Clause because, you see, the gun was never part of interstate commerce. This is important because the Commerce Clause is the hook that Congress has used to justify almost every single federal gun control law. But with the passage of SB 98 in Florida, a stand will be taken that guns stamped with the words "Made in Florida" are no business of the federal government. The session hasn't yet begun, so before it does, Senator Baker's looking for other senators to co-sponsor his bill. The more co-sponsors the bill has, the more difficult it will be for the leadership to pretend SB 98 doesn't exist by letting it languish in committee. If you're in Florida, or if you happen to know anybody in Florida, you have to be a resident of Florida and most likely a registered voter, get a hold of them. Ask them to lobby quite vigorously with their state representatives in support of SB 98. You could send them to gunowners.org and check that out. So please do. There are, you know, I guess I should kind of start this a little differently. In Nevada, the legislators in Nevada are a little behind on getting things done. They're not quite as proactive as a lot of legislators are. At least not for stuff that's really good like this. And the legislators in Nevada only meet every other year for 120 days, 4 months every other year. Now, they might have to do some special session. The governor said we might have to do a special session this year because of budget shortfalls and having to cut the budget, trim the budget. Of course, you know, the state of Nevada gets quite a bit of money from gaming taxes, hotel room taxes, things like that. There's about 2 million plus people, 2.2 million or something, in the Las Vegas area. I'll even say in Clark County. Now, the Las Vegas Valley is 65 square miles. The county is about, I'm sorry, the Las Vegas Valley is 650 square miles. The county is about 65,000 square miles. It's a very large county. However, the vast majority of the people live in the Las Vegas Valley. That includes North Las Vegas, Henderson, and other unincorporated areas. Boulder City's just outside of that valley. So you have about 2.2 to 2.5 million people in that county, Clark County. There's only about another million people in the rest of the state. Only, you know, maybe 3.5 million people that live here. And even if you chalk up a huge weekend, there might be another 400,000, like on New Year's Eve or something. So you might have as many as 4 million people in the state at any one time. All right? We get all kinds of revenue coming in from the federal government, because the federal government owns like 86% of the land in Nevada. There's federal projects here. There's all kinds of revenue from gaming and hotels and restaurants and stuff like that. That's why we're always, hey, come to Vegas, lose your money, keep our taxes low, right? That's the way that we look at things, the residents here. So they still can't seem to operate this state on a budget. So they might have to do a special legislative session. Anyhow, back on this. There are several pro-gun bills that need to be introduced. Once we have the election coming up in November, and probably even before that, I'm going to be working with representatives out of this state to introduce several pro-gun bills. I'm going to go so far as to actually have these things written out, ready to hand to them and say, look, this is what's passed and been happening and going well in other states. This is what we want you to introduce. Start looking for co-sponsors. Now, it'd be easy enough to take it to some of the senators. The senators serve two sessions, so they'll work this year, and then 2 years later, they'll go work the next year off of one election. The actual representatives only get one session out of the deal. They have to run every other year. So that's what we're going to be dealing with. That's what I'm going to be trying to get done and accomplish to get some pro-gun stuff done in the state of Nevada. I want to let you know about a couple of things. First of all, if you go to YouTube and search Champion Carnes, okay, Champion, C-H-A-M-P-I-O-N, then a space, then Carnes, C-A-R-N-S, you're going to see a YouTube video that Dave Champion and I did back in October. We actually put it up on YouTube, a few weeks ago. And it's about the difference between a standard capacity magazine, some non-coms refer to it as a high-capacity magazine, anything over 10 rounds, and then a standard capacity magazine. A reduced-capacity magazine. In this case, in lieu of using a legislatively mandated reduced-capacity magazine, Dave just shot a 1911, and I think he had like 7 or 8 rounds in the magazine. 8 rounds, I think. And I was shooting a Glock 17 with 17 rounds in the gun. And there were 14 targets, balloon targets, so, chest size sort of thing, up at chest level on targets. And we're walking down the middle of this and shooting. And we timed it. My time versus Dave's time. I had no magazine changes. Dave had one. So if you go to YouTube and search Champion Carnes, you will find that video. Pops right up. It's the first one. Click on it. Watch it. I think altogether it's about 8 minutes. So I encourage you to watch that and then give a rating on it. If you have any more thoughts to share, you can always email me, bill@2aradio.com. I'm happy to see what you have to say. Guys, I have to put out yet another plea. And this plea is, please do not forward me anything on email. No forwards. Please. I have a half dozen email addresses. Trust me. If there's information out there, I'm going to get it forwarded to me. If there's something you absolutely, positively know that I have to see in a forward, please, blind carbon copy me. Don't just put me in the address line. Do it as a BCC. Because everybody else in the world then ends up with bill@2aradio.com. And they start forwarding me everything that they can every day. Because they got my email address off somebody else's when they sent 15 things out. So please, be a little discreet with that. That email address exists for you and I to communicate over email. Not for me to get all these forwards. I get all the forwards anyhow. I get them on one of my other addresses. I get all the forwards that I get at bill@2aradio.com. I also get at least one other email address. Always. That's just the way it works out. If you have to send me something that you're also sending to other people, put it as a BCC. It's one of the address lines. You got two. You got CC, carbon copy, and BCC, blind carbon copy. Put me in as the BCC, please. Even better, refrain from sending me forwards. Just communicate with me. You and I. Send me a message. I'll send one back to you. Joe in Pennsylvania, thank you for the emails that you sent me yesterday. I appreciate that. The good stuff. Joe was one of the guys that was concerned about the internet link being down, so I sent him an email, along with a couple other people that sent me information on it, that the FCC had suspended their accounts because they hadn't gotten prior approval to listen. I'm a smartass, guys. I couldn't resist. Okay. So, my question to you is, do you live in a state which is pro-gun or not? Relatively pro-gun? Kind of not. If you don't already have some sort of Firearms Freedom Act in your state, which most of you don't, New Hampshire so far is looking like it has the best one because it provides penalties, misdemeanor for in-state law enforcement, felony for federal law enforcement, a violation of the Firearms Freedom Act in New Hampshire, if that bill passes. So it already exists in Montana, exists in Tennessee. It's going to be introduced in Florida, Utah, New Hampshire, several other states. If your state is not introducing one, well, introduce it. What we've done so far on this show is we've talked a lot about certain guns, certain gear. We're moving on to another topic here. We've gone through the Ronin AR-15. Now, I have said many times over, the AR-15 is not the most inherently reliable system in the world, but if you put it to Ronin status, as we did a radio show and rebroadcast a time or two, it becomes much more reliable. It's a much better gun. It's still not perfect. Doesn't do anything for 308, because most of those parts aren't available for 308. Some of them are. Some of them you can still get. But it's an inherently unreliable system. It was designed to do something some way with certain type of bullets, certain type of powder. And then, in fact, we don't run it with that. It's like a car that was designed to be run on a very special kind of fuel, and then when it came out, the fuel wasn't available. So we do as good as we can with the fuel that we have that is available. That's really the whole story of the AR-15, the M16. So, we have a lot of questions about the AK-47. So, when we return from the break coming up, I'm going to tell you about a wonderful surprise we have about learning a little bit about kind of the Ronin AK-47. You're definitely going to want to hear about this. So keep your ears tuned right here. I'll be back after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
I always have to stop singing to that before I push the mic button. Hey, I want to tell you, it's been really good news. I've been on the air nearly a year. Middle of March will be a year. And I finally have a blood relative listening to my show. My mother has started listening to my show. I don't think she actually gets up early enough to listen to it. She's up early, but I don't think she listens to the show until a little bit later when the archive's posted at 2aradio.com. But my mother started listening maybe about 6 weeks ago or so, and I wanted to give it a test of time before I actually announce it. I have many blood relatives. I finally have one that listens to the show. How about that? Yay. Thanks, Mom. You can always count on Mom, right? Took her about, 9 months, and she started listening. Whenever she hears something interesting, she sends a snippet to my sister, who will listen to it through the email, which is kind of cool. But, that's it. It's great when I have friends and family say, hey, man, how's the radio show going? Do you ever listen? No. Well, listen, and then you'll know, J-O. Okay, AK-47. There's a fellow that I used to work with years ago out at the gun range. Excellent instructor and a great dude on top of that. His name is Jim Fuller. Jim, over the last several years, has really kind of morphed into somebody who is one of the finest AK-47 gunsmiths in America. And he is trained on how to use it. He's actually an adjunct instructor for Suarez International, part of Gabe Suarez, and who Gabe Suarez is noted as probably the single echelon expert in the United States on using the AK-47 as a defensive battle tool. Jim is one of his adjunct instructors and also one of the finest AK-47 gunsmiths in America, if not the finest. So Jim is going to be a guest. He's going to call in next Tuesday, all right? Next Tuesday, a week from yesterday, 5-6 days from now, Jim's going to call in, and we're going to talk about the AK-47 for the entire hour. If you have any questions on AKs, write them down, get ready, and probably after segment three, sometime in segment four, we're probably going to start taking callers with any questions you might have of stuff we haven't yet covered in that part of the show. So, If you enjoyed the Ronin AR-15 show, now you want to go with a slightly bigger caliber, a gun that's more reliable, and really to try to dispel some of the myths, answer some of the questions. Next Tuesday, Jim Fuller's going to be a guest for the entire hour, and Jim will be able to answer any and all questions related to the AK-47. Somewhere where I hope to get someday, Jim's going to be there. So, next Tuesday, put it on your calendar. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Lendman News Hour coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.